Two meaningful conversations at the break there.
About analytics
and the other one about NASA.
Yeah, trying to wrap our head around the logistics of
I don't think we need to revisit that.
I'm not sure we really got to the bottom of it, though, in the last segment.
It was a NASA scientist who was asked a question or, for whatever reason, veered into that category. Maybe it's the same, whatever. Like, you just spilled your coffee. Like, if you don't want to spill something in space, things go in different directions. Can we talk about football instead?
Because I don't care.
You're the one who pointed out to me.
Space scares me to begin with.
Space scares me.
Now we've got follow-up questions.
What is your follow-up question?
Okay. What was the headline? So
I don't want to read the headline again.
The NASA scientist warned astronauts not to masturbate in space because theoretically that it could inseminate or impregnate a female astronaut, right? Down the road
Charlie
here?
Charlie wants to go home.
Down the road here? Is that what...
I'm actually doing research on this right now.
Charlie is using this for his next comedy bit.
What are you talking about?
I think it would be blocked by our site.
The follow-up question was, all right, so is...
How?
Yes. Is the female astronaut on board with male astronaut here? Is this a concern? Or is this future female astronauts who
like a lot of these tantalizing articles, yes. I just read the headline,
yeah,
maybe the first paragraph, and then I just run from it.
That's fine, but like that's why I get annoyed or frustrated sometimes. Like, there's no real explanation.
Don't get frustrated with me. I'm not the NASA scientist.
Why is he wasting his time?
I would think common sense would tell you that it's very unlikely. Highly unlikely, unless we're just having a game of nudity.
How many people actually are in space? How many astronauts orbit space in a year these days?
Well, there's a space station up there.
I know that, but how many people are frequenting outside this atmosphere?
Well, Dala is our expert when it comes to space, so we can ask him.
Is it space or just moon landings? Whatever, it's all the same.
All right, we can ask him.
During crosstalk. All right.
Hold on. Before we do get to football here, this is an update from the White Sox and Rick Hahn.
Oh, thankfully, I thought you were going to talk to you. There's an update from the NASA.
Yeah, we're getting some radio interactivity from the aliens. They want to know. Something may have happened out there. They're definitely aliens. But Luis Robert will go to the IL.
Okay.
Has there been any further... He's speaking now, I believe.
Rick Hahn speaking right now. He said, lightheaded, mess and blurred vision. Symptoms have not been better. They hope he's back to being normal after the IL stint. They're not quite sure what the cause is right now.
I got to tell you, this team has just been snake bit on a number of fronts with different injuries, different types of injuries, strange injuries. Was Danny Mendick that got hurt? Pursuing his ACL. It's just this team is just they deal with so many different physical things. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's not great. So Jesse Rogers right now is observing and taking in Rick Hahn's as he meets the media right now at Guaranteed Rate Field. So Jesse Rogers is going to join us right around 4:30, maybe a little bit.
He's off that lake map. Matt, I heard him up in Wisconsin.
I heard him with Peggy and Dion earlier this morning, and he said, "What happens in Oshkosh
stays in Oshkosh."
Okay. So,
I'm going to ask him again, but if
be prepared for a follow up question.
That's fine. I will consent to his wish if he does not want to talk about it.
So he'll join us here shortly. And, of course, Connor McKnight will join us at 5:30 as well. So plenty of White Sox coverage here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. We've also got a couple more pairs of White Sox tickets to give away on this free ticket Friday, courtesy of Miller Lite. We'll do that later this hour and also again in the 5 o'clock hour. The White Sox take on the Guardians tonight. Len Casper and Jason Benetti will be on the call here on ESPN 1000 with Connor McKnight on the pregame coverage. So lots of great White Sox action for you. Right now, though, we take a moment to talk some football.
You said you had a game. I do have a game.
Before we get to that game, let me mention, though, Waddle, we've got the ESPN Chicago Football Fest coming everybody's way. It's the official kickoff for the football season. It's taking place on Saturday, August 20th at Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. The doors open at 10 a.m. It's free to all. You just need to Registrate. You need to register. Registration is required. It's at ESPNFootballFest.com. If you'd like to come, make sure you join everybody at the ESPN Chicago team. We'll be out there talking sports betting, Bears, NFL, fantasy football. I'll be there.
Will you be presenting?
I'll probably wander on stage and talk a little bit about some football with the field. We will talk fantasy. I believe there's going to be a fantasy corner this year.
Oh, really?
So anybody who wants to bring their questions will be able to chat with you on a personal level. You must be 21 years or older to attend. Plenty of guests are coming your way. We're going to be announcing them throughout the month of August as we wait for Saturday, August 20th. Again, the ESPN Chicago Football Fest. Make sure you're there. It's going to be the biggest event of the year for us. So come on out and join us. Just have to register at, again, ESPNFootballFest.com. All right, Wads.
Yeah.
The QB ring game.
Okay. I have prepared you for talked you, my to friend. You had Carmen titillated earlier when you described this.
And were you a little surprised? Now, the game is I have set an over-under number for the number of Super Bowl rings.
I was caught not paying attention when you described this to Carm.
No problem. That's why I am reestablishing what we're going to be doing here. So I've gone around the league. Quarterbacks, I have set a number for the over-under. You're going to go ahead and give me what you would place your hard-earned dollars on, the over or the under, on the number I have set.
Okay, so I would just, can I just make a I'd like to make an opening statement. Yes. My opening statement would be that, look, Tom Brady's the anomaly here, people. Most guys don't have multiple Super Bowl rings. So Tom Brady's got a bunch.
Yep.
How many's he got? Seven or six?
Seven. You want to start with Tom Brady?
I'm just thinking, Ben Roethlisberger, who's retired now, has two.
Correct.
Aaron Rodgers has one.
Correct. Eli Manning has two.
Eli Manning's got two.
Peyton had two in his career.
Right. So, like, it's very unlikely to get more than one Super Bowl ring. Troy Aikman had a couple.
Elway won two. Troy won three. Steve Young won one. Joe Montana won four.
Yeah, Terry Bradshaw won four.
I said Steve Young won one. He won one as a starter. I think he won.
Opening statement would be that, and by the way, Patrick Mahomes has been to the AFC title game four consecutive years, has played in how many Super Bowls?
Two Super Bowls.
Super Bowls, has one ring.
Correct.
Okay, so that is the foundation of this conversation. It is hard as hell to win a Super Bowl ring, even for all of the extremely talented quarterbacks.
Absolutely. Will it get a little bit easier if and when Tom Brady ever eventually retires, though? He's kind of dominated the ability for folks to win some rings because he's been hogging all the rings for himself.
He has, but I think we're coming to the end of his hogging activity.
All right, well.
That sounded awful, Dave.
I liked it.
Phrasing. All right, so the QB rings game. We play with Tom Waddle here.
What inspired this, by the way?
So,
like, you and I have had 1,000 quarterback conversations over the course of time. And I've always been in the camp of, look, I think you guys are way too hard on a lot of quarterbacks. It's a really tough position to play in an elite level. And you have to acknowledge that there's only a small handful of elite guys, and the rest of them will vacillate from being really good to, I thought he would be better this year.
And part of what the inspiration was, we had a conversation yesterday. Sylvie wanted us to say, what's the acceptable level for Justin Fields' floor? And
which I think the better way to describe it was, if he's this guy, you won't be pissed.
Yes. And part of it was, you know what? I think when I was trying to figure out where I wanted him to be, where I wouldn't be pissed, it was, well, what's the disconnect? How do we evaluate these quarterbacks? Where do you feel this quarterback's going to be? If I say this is his floor, I want him to be Russell Wilson.
Well, Russell's has one ring and has been to two Super Bowls.
Precisely. So that's the reason, like, hey, how do I feel about Russell Wilson versus how does someone else feel about Russell Wilson? I'm hoping that by you placing a wager on over-under on number of rings, maybe we can see where we differ in terms of how we feel about quarterbacks.
Okay.
And I've asked Tyler as well to chime in if he feels strongly, you know, against how you feel about this. So
Charlie would like to, too, but he's researching masturbation in space.
Hey, somebody has to take on that important project.
I give up on it.
No, no. Charlie, don't be a quitter.
What happened? Did you find a roadblock on the company computer? Use your phone.
That's what I was looking at.
Use your phone.
It was just
littered with pornography.
Every article he goes to, the blocker. Nope, can't go.
That's why you use your phone.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah. It's the antivirus masturbation blocker up on the website.
Sounds like you're aware of it or familiar with it.
I have no idea what you're talking about. All right, the QB Rings game here on Waddle and Sylvie. Okay. Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today. All right, Wads. Tom Brady, he is 45 years old in 12 days.
Are we saying...
No. Listen, I'm going to...
Okay.
Your career rings. Right now, Tom Brady has 7. I'm going to set the over-under at 7.5. He's 45 this season. Tom Brady, will you take the over or the under?
I'm going to take the under.
On 7.5
career. Take the under. I don't believe that the Bucs will win this year, and we're now looking at just a couple years left in his career.
And with the big Fox television contract already signed, sealed, and delivered, it does seem like Tom Brady at some point...
He wasn't going to be searching for a warm place to lay down anyway, but yes, you're right. He has somewhere to go quickly.
I think now that we know that contract and deal is in place, at some point he will finally retire. It may be in a year or two from now. 7.5 over or under, Tyler?
I'm gonna go with under.
All right, so you guys think he has won his last Super Bowl as a quarterback?
Again, we're playing the odds.
I know, I would tend to agree. All right, boys, the next name on the list, Patrick Mahomes. He is 26 right now. This is his age 27 season. I'm setting the over under for quarterback rings for Patrick Mahomes at 2.5.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm going under. It's so unlikely that guys win a second Super Bowl.
He's 1-1.
Which means
he would have to win 2 or more to hit the over.
I'm going
to
go under because I think he'll get 1 more, but odds would be against him getting more than 2.
You said he's what, 26?
He'll be 27.
This is his age 27 season
age 27
this year. So, I mean, listen, he's got... I mean, so
and at some point,
he's got
some
a decade point, to go.
At some point, the Kansas City Chiefs will also plateau and may not be one of the stronger teams in the league.
And this might be that first year without Tyreek Hill.
However, that contract looks like it's going to... Especially the way that quarterback salaries are going right now. That contract is going to look team-friendly.
Yes, I agree with that.
So
I think it's team-friendly if you look at the details... Already compared to some of the other deals.
So I'll say over because of the longevity of quarterback careers and also the nature of his deal being one that I think is a little team friendlier.
Okay.
All right.
Kind of Brady-esque, the way that he kind of took discounts to build championship teams.
Justin Herbert, we gave that one to Carmen in Crosstalk as I whet the appetite of the listeners out there. Justin Herbert is 24 years old, and I'm going to set the over-under for number of quarterback rings at 1.5.
Oh, I'm going under.
All right.
What leads you to believe that all of a sudden now he's going to win 2 Super Bowls? Nobody wins 2 Super Bowls these days.
Again, Tom Brady has hogged all the rings. Ben Roethlisberger won 2 in his career, did he not?
Yes.
Okay, so
else?
Justin Herbert is 24 years old. If I had set it at a half, you would have been much more...
Dan Marino won 0, brother!
You're absolutely right. I said, though, if I had set it at a half, you would be much more likely to take the over.
You're supposed to just be answering that. Did Alex Trebek, before he passed away, did he argue with his
you're
contestants?
You're asking me questions. Tyler, 1.5 for Justin Herbert. You taking the over?
I'm in the Carmen camp of loving Justin Herbert as well, but I'm taking the under.
Like, all right.
And a half, and you're going to go head-to-head with Mahomes,
Allen.
Absolutely.
The division he's in.
No, listen, there's no doubt about it, but you just talked about Patrick Mahomes potentially running into a point where the Chiefs have plateaued. If they've plateaued, somebody in that division has to rise up,
I think if Justin Herbert wins 1 Super Bowl, he will have had a brilliant career.
And I'm not saying it wouldn't be. I have to set the number somewhere, right?
Okay. Well,
if I had set it at a half, would you have taken the over?
I would have taken the over.
Okay, so probably. I made it a little more difficult, did I not?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was my goal.
Not really. It was easy for me to go under, but go ahead.
All right, boys. Russell Wilson currently...
It's harder for me to actually say over a half for Justin Herbert than to say under 1.5 for Justin Herbert.
Okay.
Because it is so hard to win a Super Bowl.
That's fair. I think
you can catch lightning in a bottle, too.
I think most people, though, telling them they're 24 years old, I think most people would be more inclined to bet the over for his career because they think he'll win 1 Super Bowl. I could be wrong.
Especially with the great, what's his name, at the coach that is
Brandon Staley,
going for it on fourth down from his own 20.
Loves analytics just like you do, Waddle.
I do. But going for it fourth and one on your own 20 is not smart.
Russell Wilson, he is 33 years old. He is in a new location leading the Denver Broncos. I am setting his career QB rings at 1.5. Will he win one more Super Bowl?
No, I go under. I don't think Denver. Again, he's in the AFC West.
Yes.
I don't believe he wins another one.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yes, I think most people would agree with that. Let's keep it in the AFC West and go with Derek Carr, Sylvie's new favorite quarterback. He's 31 years old. I'm setting it at 1.5. You think now with Devontae Adams, can Derek Carr would you put your hard-earned money on a Super Bowl
I'm going under. I don't believe, again, I don't believe.
He's the worst quarterback in the division.
Listen, I agree with you guys, but hey, it's the quarterback rings game.
Okay.
He's a quarterback.
I'm not being critical of you.
Okay. Matthew Stafford, he's 34 years old. There's only one place to set this number, 1.5. They won last year, defending Super Bowl champions. Matthew Stafford, will he win one more Super Bowl before he retires?
I think it's more likely that Stafford wins another one than Brady. And it's not it's because of the cast around
Brady's
him.
Probably got
what
2 years
max. Stafford versus Rodgers.
I like the Rams team more than the Packers.
You guys are playing a different game. Yeah. It's the quarterback rings game.
This is what we're doing. I think what it is we're talking through before we get to our answer.
Matthew Stafford.
Question is do you believe that the Rams have another Super Bowl championship in them? And it would be as much about them keeping their team together and all the other stuff that is going on.
No doubt. I would say this. I think it's probably a strong possibility if they're going to do it.
Then it happens this year.
Exactly.
Yes. I was going to say it has to happen in the next 2 years.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say over.
Oh, Sylvie would be so mad
But it is not just about Stafford.
I agree. I know.
We learned this past year, he played well. He played very well, but he's got a good team and a great coach around him.
I'm simpatico with you on Stafford.
Yeah, I'm going to go with an over on Stafford as well.
All right. So what would you say? Yes, I would go with the over because I do think that the Rams, I think they had a decent chance of winning again this year.
Yeah,
so
that's a system play for me or a organizational play.
I like the Rams, particularly coming out of the NFC this year. Honestly, I think their hardest problem will be whoever comes into out of the AFC.
Listen, especially
that's a gauntlet
getting out of the AFC, the NFC West, I think is going to be easier this year. I mean, Trey Lance, I'm not sure he's ready for prime time. I think that will be a rocky road for them a little bit.
All right. You guys were mad about the Justin Herbert line being set at 1.5.
Not mad.
Will you be just as disappointed as me setting the Josh Allen number at 1.5 at 26 years of age? I believe the Buffalo Bills are one of the overwhelming favorites to win the Super Bowl. So Josh Allen, Super Bowl rings in his career. 1.5. You taking the over
under? I think he'll get one. Get one. I wouldn't argue against it, but I don't think you'll get two. It's impossible to get two Super Bowl rings.
Is that impossible?
It's virtually impossible.
I'm going to go under, and I know I've talked about like the longevity of quarterback careers, but he's a guy who gets out on the edge and runs a lot too.
Yep.
So you could see maybe by the time he's like 32, he has to significantly change
his game. And as you said, Mellor, the AFC is a stronger conference right now. It's harder to get to the big game.
Absolutely. I will admit that.
Tyler and I are walking arm in arm in this
contest. This is like the one-word White Sox.
Yeah.
To Tyler's longevity point, like Brady had that 8 or 9 years where he didn't win one.
Yeah.
And most quarterbacks probably would have retired midway through that, and he would have only had 3.
No, it's a fair point, Charlie.
Only had 3.
Now back to masturbating in space.
Yeah, check on those stories for
the investigation of such.
It's a fair point, but you wonder, Tom Brady basically laying down the template for players to try and create a longer career. Will more quarterbacks
Charlie's right, or maybe it was Tyler, whoever said it, that like the brilliance of Josh Allen is directly tied to his ability. And you saw them. Like, they weren't worried about his longevity and the game plans that they were using at the end of the season in the postseason.
Truth be told, had the Bills won the toss, I think the Bills win the Super Bowl last year. Because I don't think the Bills would have fallen apart the way the Chiefs did in the AFC Championship game. I think they could have beaten the Rams. So if the Bills win the toss in overtime of the AFC Divisional game against the Chiefs, I think the Bills would have won the Super Bowl last year.
So you're saying that the Chiefs wouldn't have done what the Bengals did, which was step up and make a stop, in fact, take the ball away in overtime, and ultimately flip the field and won the game in that manner.
I don't think the Bengals get to overtime against the Bills if they're playing them in the AFC title game.
Okay.
All right, so you guys both go under on Josh Allen, hating on the Bills. I'm sure our buddy Mark Giangreco would take the over, but he's not here to play this game.
He can tweet some vitriol at you.
Marky, shame Waddle for hating on the Bills.
Hating on the Bills is completely disingenuous from your perspective. I just took under 1.5 Super Bowl rings for Josh Allen.
Over a half. You take over a half, though, right?
I would take over a half, yeah.
Bills Mafia going to come after you. All right, boys, here we go. Aaron Rodgers. He's 39 years old, 1.5. Do the Packers win another Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback?
I don't. I don't think they do.
I'm under. Yeah, I'm under.
I think I think last year was probably their best chance for him going forward.
I agree. Losing Devontae Adams, I don't think that's going to age well for the Packers when all is said and done. All right, how about this man? He played in the Super Bowl last year, but he did not win. He's 26 years old. Joe Burrow at 26 years old. We're setting it at 1.5. Do you think the Bengals win a Super Bowl?
I don't have enough faith in the Bengals organization. It's my hometown team.
So you're playing,
under?
I'm going to go under. I don't think they're going to win one.
You know, I thought this was going to be the first point where we would go oppo, but I'm with you. I'm an under on Burrow. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals missed the playoffs next year.
They've addressed their offensive line, but they put him out on an island so frequently. I don't know that their defense will be as good.
And there were games last year where, even in the playoffs, Burrow wasn't that great. I think over the course of the playoffs, Burrow threw for 5 touchdowns.
I will say this, too. A lot of people harp on the Bengals' offensive line. I think Joe Burrow is just as much as responsible for a lot of the sacks he took as their offensive line.
Yeah, he runs into trouble. That's something that Fields has got to get better at.
So we'll see how, but you both taking the under. I would tend to agree. I don't think the Bengals, you know what? I think Joe Burrow gets one. I think
that's the most enticing number you've thrown out of this exercise.
How about this one? Lamar Jackson, he's won an MVP in this league. We're going to set it at 1.5. Do you guys think Lamar Jackson at 25 years old wins a Super Bowl in his career?
I do not. No. I'm going to go under. You realize I saw this, I think Orlovsky pointed this out, that the Dolphins have had the same record over the last 2 years as the Baltimore Ravens. Does that make sense? Did I see that correctly?
Over the last 2 seasons. In 33 games, they have the same record.
I think that's what Orlovsky said.
I can see that.
That was a bit surprising to me. Baltimore last year was, they were 8-9.
Yeah.
And what was, the Dolphins were 9-8. So let's go back to 2020.
Well, remember
and the Dolphins were 10-6, and the Ravens were 11-5. So, yes, same record the last 2 years. I'm going to go under.
Lamar missed a bunch of games last year, though, right?
It was a few. I don't know if it was a bunch. I think he probably missed 4. You know, because he had some weird,
missed the Bears game last year.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah, he played 12. You're right, Charlie. He played 12 games.
So he missed 5 games last season.
Yeah.
All right, boys. How about this one? Deshaun Watson. He is 27 years old, and I'm setting the over-under at 1.5. Watson.
Under. I don't trust the Browns, and B, I don't trust him anymore. Like, I was the biggest Deshaun Watson fan as a player. And at that, it's the most important position in all of sports. It's about good decision making. And maybe you can separate the two on the field and off the field, and you can be one guy one place and one guy the other place, but I'm going under.
Tyler?
At 1.5, I'm going to go under. But if it's going to happen, I think it's kind of like the Rams scenario two, it's going to happen in the next year or two. It'd have to. Because after that, then you're looking at exorbitant amounts of cash going. They're not going to be able to build a team around him with all that guaranteed money they're throwing his way.
They got a lot of money invested in their defense, too, right?
Yeah.
Denzel Ward, you've got Miles Garrett.
The defense might be able to help carry him. He may not be asked to do nearly as much as some of those other guys because they do have a good defense in place. All right, we haven't even got to the most important name in Chicago, so we've got
under.
That to do.
We will do that. We'll revisit this at 5 o'clock. Up next, though, Jesse Rogers has been listening to what Rick Hahn has been saying at Guaranteed Rate Field. We'll check in with Jesse and get you set for the start of the second half for the White Sox and all of Major League Baseball. We'll do that on Waddle and Sylvie next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Second half of the Major League Baseball season began yesterday, but the White Sox are back in action tonight as they take on the Cleveland Guardians live from Guaranteed Rate Field. We will have the call. Pregame begins at 6:30 tonight with Connor McKnight on the pregame coverage. And we have a very special guest as we've got Len Casper and Jason Benetti on the call tonight. Darren Jackson taking the weekend off. So we've got lots of very cool and interesting play-by-play calls. Saturday we'll have Len and Connor McKnight calling the first game of the doubleheader. Game two will be Connor McKnight and Steve Stone. That's right, Stoney going to be on our air for game two of tomorrow night's doubleheader. And on Sunday, it will be Len Casper and Kurt Bloom, the AA Birmingham announcer, who will be calling his first big league game on Sunday. So that's very cool as well. So great White Sox booth right here on ESPN 1000 all weekend long. Again, Len Casper and Jason Benetti tonight. Len, Connor McKnight's going to join us at 5:30, but Jesse Rogers has been taking in Rick Hahn's conversation with the media at Guaranteed Rate earlier today, and he joins us now. Jesse, of course, is brought to you by your Chicago Toyota Dealer Association. Toyota, let's go places. Jesse, should we start with the White Sox or your 24-hour experience in Oshkosh?
We're going to need 24 hours to document that.
Well, we don't have 24 hours.
Yeah, no.
What do you want to tackle first? Because we're not going to let you just, skirt by. So which would you like first, White Sox information?
Let's talk about you in an uncomfortable-looking pose on a river mat.
Well, I mean, that's why I didn't see the picture, but I can only imagine what it looked like. Because, you're turning, and he takes a photo bomb of me, So I'm sure I did look kind of like, overweight, a little whatever, hungover maybe. But it was actually fun. It was fun time. I got to admit, Cap's a good host. My wife came with me, so, she was a witness to the shenanigans. It was a good time.
What was the beverage of choice that was flowing?
We had some beers. Yeah, mostly beer. I think when we got back, we had some vodka that night, but mostly beer on the boat. Yeah, mostly beer on the boat. Beautiful, beautiful lake and beautiful area up there, I got to say. So Cap was a great host. I wish I could say something bad, but I can't.
Whole lot of Juan Soto conversations.
Yeah, was
going
that the
on?
Only picture that was taken, or is that just the only one that was sent?
That's the only one. Like, what happens in Oshkosh stays in Oshkosh.
Okay, that's fair.
I said it this morning. It's going to. It's going to stay that way. I mean, did the bathing suits come off later? Maybe.
No, oh kidding. Boy, I don't. Save that for later.
No, but it was fun. It was a 24-hour experience I'll never have again. That's all I can tell you.
All right, I've got to rid my mind of those thoughts, and then segue to the White Sox. What did Rick Hahn say to all of you today?
Yeah, we'll work backwards. Tony just got done talking. Before that was Rick. I mean, Tony addressed the team today. Second half starts. Wasn't a big Newt Rockne speech. It was just like, hey, we got to tighten up some things, right? They're deficient in every area of the game. They're not the worst in the league at all of them, but they are deficient, right? So they need to tighten things up on the bases. They need to tighten things up defensively, get a few more innings out of their starters. So I don't think Tony's speech or anything more than that. Let's tighten up some areas here. We're in this race. Now, as far as Rick Hahn is concerned, Luis Robert is the headline here. He has been placed on the IL, has some dizziness still, some blurry vision. He came out of the series last weekend against Minnesota. Things have not subsided. Now, since then, he hasn't really gone full tilt. This is really about his vision. It was more about his vision in the outfield than it was at the plate. It was more long-distance type stuff. And if you remember, he made a couple miscues out there those last few games, and now we know why. Well, we don't know what exactly is the diagnosis. That's what is concerning, and Tony did not skirt the issue. He is concerned. They don't have a diagnosis on why Luis Robert has blurry vision and some lightheadedness that continues even now. though is like just living day to day, I guess it's not so bad. But to play baseball at a high level, that's a different story. So they'll give him a week or so to see how this works out. If the doctors can come up with something, or maybe it just subsides on its own. So it is definitely a concern, guys.
I was going to say, how deep into the prognosis did you guys get? Is he seeing an eye doctor, neurologist? What's the plan of attack? Because hearing you say that they're just going to give him a week and kind of hope it subsides is a little concerning, because the reality is that if that's the case, you know, you're fearful that things can pop up at any given moment.
Yeah, I'll tell you what Rick Hahn said to us, and I believe him. He's like, I am not sitting on any information. This is as much as we know. He is seeing all those people you just mentioned. And I think tomorrow will be an important day. He's going to come out here and do some activities, and maybe we'll get a better idea as this thing moves along. It sounds like they did nothing. They let him go. All-star break, just take it easy. Don't push yourself. Now coming back under the sort of a guidance of the training staff and doctors, he'll push himself. So, you know, it's not the worst possible news, because we haven't seen him out in the field feeling this, but it hasn't subsided enough to let him play right away. So we're sort of caught in the middle. We don't have a diagnosis. I think the next few days will tell us a little bit more. But yeah, it's a little bit scary. Tony did not shy away from that.
Big picture, Jess, how do you feel about this team going forward over the next 70 games? We asked a web poll question yesterday. Will the White Sox win, or will they go over or under 39.5 wins in their final 70? Which means that if you take the over, they would be 40-30 at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely liked what I saw last week, and I thought I wasn't picking them to come back and win the division a month ago, but I was wide open to it happening. They are deficient in so many areas, but really, if they only get better on the mound in terms of their starters, everything else can fall away. It doesn't matter as much. So in that sense, I do like the five names they throw out there. If Lance Lynn can figure some things out, right? He's the one guy that hasn't yet. So I like their chances as much as any, but I don't love them. Like, I don't think they're going to run away with it. Some people think that. I've been telling you, Waddle, for a while now, let's look at August, the easiest month of the season for them. Post-trade deadline, Kansas City is going to be a mess. They play them 11 times. Tigers will probably be a mess trading away. They play them a bunch. So I do like the way the schedule shapes up for them, even if they beat up on each other these next couple weeks. But yeah, Tommy, I give him a good shot at it, absolutely. But I'd say it's a coin toss in a way, because I think Minnesota and Cleveland are going to be there till the end.
Will the easy schedule lead them possibly? Will it give them some false sense of security with regard to them going out and maybe being active in the trade market before the deadline?
No, because that easy schedule really happens in August. The deadline is the 2nd. I don't think the next 2 weeks are going to give them any ease. I don't care if they get into first place or not. Look, they need bullpen arms. There's no doubt about it. Graveman's on a pace for career high. Kelly is underperformed. Foster's been in and out. Bummer's just starting back up. You can't rely on Hendricks with 6 out saves, right? There's no doubt they're going to add arms. There's no doubt in my mind. They did last year. They didn't even need it as much. You know, they went out and got Craig Kimbrell. So I don't think there's any doubt they're going to add some bullpen arms. Take some, maybe even, you know, piggyback a little bit, lighten the load on Michael Kopech a little bit. I think they want to save some innings there. So I think Vince Velasquez is going to get some good innings the second half, but they're going to find some arms to pitch in the 7th inning, especially leading into Graveman and Hendricks. So I don't think they can relax at all, Tommy. They've got to really start tightening things up and playing good baseball. You want to dictate September. Sure. You don't want to be chasing. And that's the way I look at what August is. August is moving month for the White Sox. They should be moving into first place if they're really a contender. And then you hold on in September and let them chase you.
Another area of need for the White Sox, Jess, is some left-handed thump. Did the idea of an elite 23-year-old stick that could become available even become, you know, a topic that was broached with Rick Hahn? Just the idea of a young stud being available, not necessarily a particular name, because we know Rick Hahn doesn't like to go there, but just the idea of some left-handed power being available on the trade market. Is that a possibility for the White Sox at the trade deadline?
I mean, yeah, I just don't think there's a lot of it out there, but yes, and it would create a logjam in the outfield, and at DH, you have Grandel back, now you're keeping three catchers. Their roster is a little goofy, but it's full of talent when healthy. As far as Juan Soto, this is as far as Rick Hahn would go. He's like, look, anytime any of these players have come on the market, I want you to know, we always have discussions about them. And I think that means internally and, of course, with the opposing team. The discussion doesn't cost you anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea of putting a package together to get Soto before August 2nd, just I don't think it can happen. But I will say they have the major league parts to it. I don't know about the prospect parts, but if you're going to give up Kopech and or Vaughn, or you know, probably both, that's a good starting point for Juan Soto. But I'm not sure it's in the cards for the White Sox. You have all these other teams, the Dodgers, all these other teams that have a better farm system by far. And that's really what you want to do. You don't want to break apart your major league team if you're contending right now, though you're willing to give up a couple. So the most I can say is I don't doubt that he'll have conversations about it. Look, I didn't think they were going to get Craig Kimbrell, and they did. So they're going to discuss Juan Soto, and I'm sure it's not going to happen, but I'm sure a phone call has been placed. He did say since the draft, you know, the first round of the draft was Sunday night. Since Monday, when, like, the later rounds started up, the trade talk has really picked up. He said the last 5-6 days, the last few days of the All-Star break, especially, trade conversations are happening. There is that idea that there are a lot more teams in the race now than even a month ago. So Rick thought that we're looking at a lot of August 1st, August 2nd, you know, trade deadline deals, probably for those relievers I'm talking about. I can't tell you where or when Juan Soto is going to go. But he did say things have picked up, but it's still going to be a little bit before you'll see a flurry of trades.
It's the topic in baseball, though, that is really dominating conversation because, listen, you know, the Dodgers-Giants game kicked off the start of the second half on ESPN last night. Carl Ravitch, Buster Olney were talking a lot during the game about Juan Soto becoming available. The idea that, you know, Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, when he identifies, you know, certain prospects across baseball, sometimes he doesn't even really worry about other teams. He just, you know, finds guys he wants and then says, those are the pieces I want to build a deal around. And you mentioned guys like, you know, Andrew Vaughn, Kopech, maybe Aloy, that major league ready talent that's already here, Jess. I mean, I know what you're saying about other teams having better farm systems, but the reality is that the White Sox, if they truly want to engage in the conversation, some of those bats, like, they're probably, you know, because they're already tied up to, especially like Aloy, long-term deals that they're already team-friendly deals that they're signed to. I mean, if the White Sox really want to venture down that road, I think they have enough to possibly be in that conversation.
Well, they do have enough at the major league level. That's why I kind of like St. Louis. They have enough at the major league level. The Dodgers have enough at the major league level. Like, the Yankees, that's a weird trade. What are you going to give up, Judge for Soto? That doesn't make sense, right? I'm not sure the Yankees really have enough at the major league level, but the Dodgers could, the White Sox could, the Cardinals could, but then you have to fill in the blanks at the end, Jeff, and that's the minor league top prospect that the Sox don't have. And I don't think you want to give up three major leaguers that are integral to your team for Juan Soto right now. Maybe two, but even if you give up Michael Kopech, I mean, you're searching. I mean, you have no guarantee that Cueto's going to continue on. I mean, you need pitching down the stretch. You don't need to give it up. So as much as I would do it, Juan Soto's great. He'll overcome any pitching problems. It's just still a very touchy deal to get done. But I don't disagree with you. At the start, the Sox do have several major leaguers they could give up for Juan Soto. I can't disagree with that.
Real quick, Jess, because we're up against the clock, but yeah. Is there anything happening on the north side? Anything you're hearing?
Okay, so there's been no offer to Wilson Contreras during the All-Star break, if you were waiting for that. I do anticipate some engagement before August 2nd. Now, the conspiracy theorist in me says Jed's going to maybe go to him at the last minute. I hate to bring up Eddie Olczyk, but to me, you know, we all know what went on with Eddie Olczyk, right? They undercut him. He says no. I wonder if that's the same thing that's going to happen to Wilson Contreras. Are they going to give him some team-friendly deal to force him to say no? Now, this is the one guy that loves Chicago, I think even more than Rizzo or Baez or Bryant. Like, he has put out feelers. He wants to stay. He's the longest tenured Cub. So I wonder if they're going to come in with something very team-friendly at the last minute. They certainly haven't done it yet. Would he accept 4 years and $80 million? Maybe. Now, Realmuto got $115, and he's having an even better year than Realmuto had before he signed. So he probably deserves more like $100. So I'm really interested to see how they're going to play this and force Wilson to say no to an offer. Because if they give him no offer, guys, that means they didn't want him. They simply do not believe in him, because if you make an offer, then you got to be ready for that player to accept it. And if they make no offer, that means they didn't want him. If they make a below-market deal, that means at least they wanted to save face. But I don't see them giving him max dollars.
All right, Jess, as we let you go then, what would be, in your opinion, a market that's, you know, somewhat insulting to try and entice Wilson to, you know, come back knowing that he, in all likelihood, would say no.
Yeah, anything under $80 million would be insulting. $4 and $75 million
Mm-hmm.
I think if you got to $88, $90 million he might take that 4 years instead of the post $100 million So
sure,
under $80 million is insulting. Over $80 million is okay. We're starting to be in the ballpark. That's the way I kind of look at it.
All right, good stuff.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Jesse Rogers covering the White Sox and all of baseball out at Guaranteed Rate Field tonight. Again, Connor McKnight joins us at 5:30 He'll have more on the White Sox as we get you set for the start of the second half. The White Sox hosting the Guardians at Guaranteed Rate. Again, Len Casper and Jason Benetti on the call tonight. First pitch at 7:10 I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today, who has the day off. This is Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox! Let's go!
We've got a free pair of White Sox tickets for you for next Friday night's game as the Sox host the Oakland Athletics at Guaranteed Rate Field. July 29th. Again, that's next Friday night. Be caller number 7 right now at 312-332-3776. Courtesy, of course, from our friends at Miller Lite. Win yourself a pair of White Sox tickets. And if you don't win this pair, don't worry. We've got another pair coming your way at 5 o'clock. This is Waddle and Sylvie. I'm Meller in for Sylvie, who's got the day off today.
Wonder where he's at in terms of bill paying right now.
Boy, I don't know. It's 4:52 right now. So
how many envelopes have been opened?
Oof. How many people have been texted? Busy, busy day.
Enough energy for dinner.
Hope that maintenance that now will probably, it's a Friday night, they'll probably go out. Hopefully that car maintenance is taken care of at this point. But and you know what? He's more than halfway through his busy day, Waddle. Let's give him something.
That's true.
Let's give him something to watch tonight.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
This is the segment where we tell you what we're watching for
this
weekend.
I think this is arguably it's the most influential segment that we do. Seriously. I know it gives a rat's ass about some of our thoughts.
No, that's fair. I agree.
But our television recommendations, I think, have been spot on.
And the problem for you is that
I've seen everything.
You're scuffling through.
I've seen everything.
Pages, checking online. You're like, what do
seen
I recommend? And like,
last
I don't know,
night I watched.
You've watched everything.
I saw the season finale of The Old Man. I would suggest if you haven't seen that on FX, tune in. Jeff Bridges is fabulous. So is John Lithgow. I watched, I want to say it was the 4th episode of Blackbird, which is an excellent show on Apple TV as well.
You're nuts.
I did not watch any Wire last night because I was tired. I went to bed afterwards. But guess what's out?
You're the real life old man.
That is correct. What's a watch for today?
Mm-hmm.
The Gray Man, which has been talked about for a very long time. I believe is available on Netflix.
Ryan Gosling.
Today, Ryan Gosling and... Chris Evans, right? Isn't Chris Evans in it? CIA's top asset, his identity known to no one, uncovers agency secrets, he triggers a global hunt by assassins set loose by his ex-colleague.
So you're talking about the actor Chris Evans, not the Tampa Bay running back Chris Evans. Backup running back.
Correct, yeah. I'm not talking about Tampa's backup running back. I'm talking about Chris Evans.
Fair.
Who I believe also played a superhero, right? In some of the Marvel movies. Wasn't he Captain America?
I believe he was the Jacksonville Jaguars running back, backup running back at one time, too.
What's wrong with you?
I'm a fantasy.
Are you trying to get into fantasy football
expert? What do you want me to say?
Okay.
You have to know who the backup running back is.
I believe he was Captain America, yes.
All right, there you go. All right,
from Boston.
The backup running back?
No. Chris Evans, the actor. Yeah.
Okay. My recommendation, what I am watching for this weekend, it is out. It came out last night. It is out in theaters today. It is Jordan Peele's third film that he has directed. It is Nope.
Nope.
The film Nope by Jordan Peele. I have to say, he has captivated me. Jordan Peele you may have familiarized yourself with him from Key and Peele. Jordan Peele, the director, has been very influential with previous films Get Out and Us. Both films I thoroughly enjoyed. And so his newest, Nope, I assume, of the horror variety, though I haven't done a whole lot.
You said horror, right?
Horror variety. Right. I watched just briefly the trailer, so it looks like another film in the horror genre. So Jordan Peele has not disappointed with his previous two films, Get Out and Us, so I cannot wait to check out Nope. Tyler, what do you what are you watching?
I'm going to go to a show that actually Sylvie recommended a couple weeks ago, The Bear on Hulu and FX. That has been fantastic.
I've heard good things. That's one of the one show I haven't seen yet.
And then if you want a little sports-a-roo, as Meller is a backup running back sycophant, I am of the same variety for college basketball. If you want to watch a bunch of washed-up college basketball players play, TBT is on this weekend.
What is that?
It's a basketball tournament where they play for $2 million.
Oh, okay. I won't watch that.
All right.
You could check out.
What about soccer?
Charlie, what are you watching?
Soccer friendly at Lambeau Field. How about that, Tyler?
My roommates are going to that.
Man City?
My roommates are going.
All right. Wads, you going?
I'm left out.
Lambeau? You want to go tomorrow?
I'm going to Cincinnati to play some golf and see some friends.
Would you rather go with me to see Man City at Lambeau Field?
Then go to Cincinnati to see some of my friends? No, I'm going to Cincinnati.
I see where I fit in your hierarchy.
Right behind my friends from Cincinnati. Yeah. Right. So I'm not going to blow smoke up your can.
All right.
Charlie, what do you got?
I have not watched the first two episodes, so I'm gonna get caught up on The Bachelorette this weekend.
Oh, get out of here.
It's Rachel and Gabby. As a longtime member of Batch Nation, I'm a little ashamed that I'm so far behind, but I'm looking forward to it.
I think you should just be ashamed that you're part of Batch Nation.
Going to F-Boy Island.
Another
three-pack came out yesterday.
I think the phrase Batch Nation is kind of weird as well.
We're back to masturbation in space.
What is wrong with
it? It all comes full circle. Hey, can I have your credit card? I can buy some tickets to Man City and Bayern Munich for both of us.
No.
You and me, come on, tomorrow.
No, I'm not going.
I'll drive.
No, you won't.
I will drive.
No.
Come on. All right, that is what to watch for. You hear it every Friday on Waddle and Sylvie. Meller in for Sylvie today.
He's back to the football.
We're going to, yes, let's do that. Let's get back to the QB rings game. We didn't get to all of them. We'll bring you full circle. We'll let you know what you missed earlier today. We'll do that next.